Tiki, much like many other Met fans, I watched not only the home run, but the final outs over and over and over and over and over again.
Okay.
I was like a 12. I was like when I was 12 watching a porn, basically. It was like, I need to watch this over and over again.
What did I miss? Did I see that correctly?
Correct.
What was that?
And you know what? You're right, Teak. And by, I want to clarify, I was not 12 when I was watching that for the first time. I was a late bloomer. It was more like I was 17. I'm not even kidding you. Yeah, I was very late to that.
I just kind of ignored that one.
So I'm watching the celebration over and over again, and there's something that occurred that I think was really, really brilliant and showed a lot of restraint.
Okay.
So when Francisco Lindor fielded the Bryce Terang ground ball and he sprinted to second base and made the throw to first for the double play, everybody went nuts. Pete Alonso went nuts. David Peterson went nuts. Harry Bader went nuts. Francisco Lindor. I mean, everybody went nuts. There was one guy who very gingerly celebrated with the New York Mets. Everyone else was partying, jumping up and down, and there was one guy who said, nah, I'm not going to do that. Did you guys notice who that guy was and why it was so utterly brilliant?
I did not.
Sean Mora, Tommy Lugauer, because Sean, I think Sean knows the answer. He looks very happy. Tommy, did you notice?
No, I did not.
Okay. Sean, you noticed it?
It was Edwin Diaz.
It was Edwin Diaz.
That makes all the sense. He did that after they clinched a playoff spot. He said, I'm not going to jump around. We all know why.
Right. So Edwin Diaz has learned from the faux pas of 2 years ago. And even after he did such a great job earning the victory, he wasn't great when he first came and had some control issues. Edwin made big pitches. He helped contribute. Everyone else is running out there. They're partying. They're celebrating. And Edwin Diaz, thinking about 2 years ago in South Florida, very quietly walks out, claps for his teammates.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You got to respect.
Good for him.
Yes. I mean,
look, he's learning from his past issues, celebration issues, you should say, which caused him to miss an entire season. I give him credit.
Maybe
he's not feeling all the way healthy yet from that injury from the World Baseball Classic.
There is one critique I have, and I want to be very careful how I say this because I know that the trolls of the world is going to take this and use this against me. If the Mets win the World Series. Mm-hmm. They got a long way to go. They got a long, long way to go. But let's just say, hypothetically, they win the World Series. I need more than that, Edwin. I'm sorry. That's a moment we're never going to forget. I can't have you very casual. You need to lose your effing mind. And I'm sorry, if you get hurt and you miss next year, it's okay.
No, it's not.
It's okay.
What are you talking about? It's not okay.
You win the World Series. It's okay.
Yeah. You want to do it again? You want to go back?
I'll worry about that in March. But in the moment, I need Edwin Diaz to be a baller of a celebration. So for the Division Series, if the Mets are fortunate enough to beat the Phillies, be cash. If they're fortunate enough to beat the Padres or the Dodgers, again, be cash. We've seen the Mets in the World Series. I have, at least. Most of us have. But if you win the World Series against those evil bastards from Kansas City or the upstart Tigers or the Cleveland Guardians or, dare I say, that other team, you got to be crazy.
I mean, I think you will be. How can you not be out of control when you win a championship? Of course he's going to be crazy.
Okay.
So he's just being smart.
I love it.
He has many more steps to go, many more hills to climb, as Sean. What did Sean say after the mounds?
You have three more hills to climb,
hills
baby.
Hills to climb, or is it mounds? I thought you said
no,
something.
No, and it's Mount Milwaukee. Yeah. It's a play on
the
94
Rangers.
Oh,
that's right. That's what it was.
And just remember, he's ripping off Howie Rose's Rangers call. So.
Literally copying.
That's okay.
No, I just want you to, don't give Sean too much credit.
But I think he did that on purpose.
Yeah, they can make four Ghostbuster movies. I can rip off Howie's call.
That's okay. Howie's writing new amazing calls. I mean, his call from last night, as we played to start the show, is an all-timer. It's all the way at the top of the list, man. A great call. And I have to admit, I know that ESPN's gotten a lot of crap for their broadcast, and I'm not saying Boo Shambi and Doug Glanville were great. I thought Shambi's call was very good. I really do. I thought he brought it on that final play. I thought it was a very nice, exciting Pete Alonso home run call. So, look, it's not Howie Rose, it's not Gary Cohen, but for a national broadcast, I thought that was a damn good call. Let's go to Jeff in the Bronx. How are you, Jeff?
Hey, Evan. Hey, Tiki. How are you guys doing this afternoon?
Doing great. What's
remarkable,
up, dude?
Remarkable, sir. Remarkable.
You could hear my voice. I was at the Mets viewing party. Wanted to talk about my experience last night.
Yeah.
And then I got a home run for you that it's not remembered the same way, but I think it would have been.
Okay.
The Mets did a great job at the viewing party. I have to admit, going into the stadium, I was a little nervous. But when you got there, like, all my nerves disappeared. I guess because when I'm home, you're pacing, you're looking at your phone, you're talking to people, you're seeing what's... But we're at the stadium, you're really more focusing on the game. And
how many people were there?
There were two strikes.
How many people were there?
I would say at least 7,500. They had almost all the field level section kind of filled. They had seats on both the first and the third base side. And they even had security checking tickets. So it wasn't even like a free-for-all. We could just sit wherever you want. And like I said, just we were standing up for two strikes. We were chanting. We were clapping. And then obviously when Alonso hit the home run, it was bedlam. It was just everybody was hungry, hugging each other and jumping up and down. My phone fell on the ground.
It wasn't worth it.
Yeah, it was just great.
Did fans have any negativity towards Pete Prado, the home run, whether it was the drop or one of the big outs? Like, did he ever get boos from the Citi Field crowd, even though it wasn't a home game?
No, I didn't really hear too much booing. We were obviously booing the Brewer players. It's a little weird because we're cheering and booing, but we know they can't hear us. But we were just into it. We're just into it. It was just great. And then leaving that stadium, just chanting and high-fiving, it was just awesome.
Dude,
and honestly,
go ahead.
No, I'm saying they're going to do it again, and I hope the momentum continues, and I think more people should take advantage of it. The concession lines were a little long, but maybe they could fix that for the next game.
They probably didn't know how many people were going
to
be there.
I was going to say, it's hard to anticipate how many people are going to come, so it's not like you're going to staff the entire ballpark, so it just becomes, let's test this out. And we'll do concessions as we think. I mean, 7,500 is a lot of people.
Good amount of people.
I didn't expect it to be that much, to be honest with you. And so if the next time they do it, they get 10,000? I mean, are you kidding? You have to put some extra staff in.
I fully expect that. They're doing it again on Saturday for the 4 o'clock first pitch against the Phillies. And for anyone who wants to go to Philadelphia, because that's a dream, right? A chance to go see the Mets in the playoffs on the road. It's a quick trip. We all did it for the Knicks and the Sixers. There's a huge difference between Knicks Sixers and Mets Phillies. Yeah. And I'm going to pay respect to the city of Philadelphia with this. We exposed this on the air a few months ago, 5 months ago when we made the trip. The tickets to go to Philly were dirt cheap. Fans, for whatever reason, did not believe in that Sixers team. Maybe it's all the postseason failures, whatever the reason. Maybe it's the first round, but it was not a hot ticket. When I bought the tickets that Lugie and I sat in, I bought it right from the box office, and it was very reasonably priced. And so for a lot of New York fans that invaded that arena, we didn't do it because we're just big and tough. I'm sure that's part of it, but we did it because it wasn't that expensive.
Yeah, well,
get-in price for Mets-Phillies right now, Teague, is through the roof.
Of course, because the Phillies are a viable championship team. I don't think anybody thought the 76ers were a viable championship team. And, yeah, maybe they could beat the Knicks, but it was no belief that the team was one of the best in the NBA, whereas the Phillies, like, they've been the best team, one of the best teams, if not, you know, yeah, probably second best because of the Dodgers, in the National League all season long.
And they're liked by their fan base.
100%.
The Philly fan believes and likes this Philly team.
And they like the stars on that Philly team.
Absolutely. And so that's why, because I had a buddy of mine ask me this morning, he said, hey, do you think, not even a Met fan, just do you think Met fans are going to take over the bank the way Knicks fans took over the Sixers?
No chance.
And I said, it's not even going to be close. And it's not a knock on us as Met fans. And it's not saying the Knicks fans are better than us. A lot of us are the same people. Not me, but certainly Lukey and others. It's impossible to get in. And it's a credit to Philadelphia. It's a credit to that Philly fan base. And I think they're going to have a tough time coming into our building, too, because of the same reason. I think there's a lot of juice to go at the Citi Field on Tuesday and Wednesday, no matter what time those games start. And I think it's going to be very tough for the Philly fan to get in. So if it's that expensive to go to Philly Saturday and Sunday, what better place to go than Citi Field for a $10 charitable donation? And then you're surrounded by Met fans, no chance of dealing with those Philly douches, and you're watching the game with the camaraderie of your fellow Met fan. And I think that the videos and the images from last night, Tiki, will actually encourage people to want to go to Citi Field.
Yeah, I think you're right about it. And that, you know, I didn't realize, I guess I did realize because we've been to games there, how big that screen is. It's because I don't look at the screen when you're at a ball game. You look at the, you look up there maybe to see somebody's batting average or whatever the whatever ancillary thing is on the screen. But when you're watching a full game there, it's actually an epic kind of view. And so I think it's better than being at home if you don't want to, you know, watch on a smaller television. You go to the ballpark. It's $10. It's easy. You can go get a beer and feel like you're chilling outside. And the weather was actually pretty nice yesterday. And so it just it made for a perfect environment to watch a baseball game.
I was thinking about it last night when I saw it. And I said, would I want to go? And I have made a decision that I will go to a viewing party. I'll tell you the exact moment, the exact day. It's all in my head. So the Mets obviously opened this series in Philadelphia on Saturday and Sunday. This would normally be a road trip I would love to make. I can't make the trip. I just can't do it because of family reasons. I'm going to watch the game at home. I can't go to Philadelphia. There's also a very good chance that those games at Citi Field, I don't have any breaking news, but it's just a hunch I have. I think they're going to be during the day, and I think we're going to be on the radio, and I'll be here with you. And while I'd much rather be at Citi Field than with
another
Tiki
watch
Barber,
party, another watch party,
we'll have some fun. So I don't think personally I'm going to be at Citi Field for 3 and 4 just based on the start times. But if this series gets to a winner-take-all game 5, and there isn't enough time for us to drive to Philadelphia, and like I mentioned, getting in the ballpark is almost impossible. If there's a winner-take-all game 5, and our season's either going to end or gloriously continue, there's no place I'd rather be with my family and friends than at Citi Field. So if there is a watch party for a winner-take-all game 5, I don't know about you, PT, Positive Tommy. I don't know about you, Morash. Tiki's going to be traveling somewhere, unfortunately.
I will be in Denver, Colorado.
Wow, okay. That's the watch party I think I'd be locked in. I think I'll be there for that.
Then that's Saturday, right?
That would be Friday, after our show. A week from today would be a potential winner-take-all game 5.
Tiki, can you take me to Denver so I don't have to get roped into going to this?
Why wouldn't you want to go?
You're not even the Met fan. Tommy's going to get roped into going to this.
Tommy, would you want to go? Forget me. Forget the show. Forget that. Would you want to go to an event like that?
100%.
Yeah, by the way, Tommy, each of us, me, Evan, and Sean will pitch in $3.25.
Oh, I appreciate that. As you know,
I get that last quarter.
My wife has an Amazon addiction. I need the money. So, yes, I appreciate that. And then it all goes to a good cause. The Mets fun.
And you know what else, Tommy? If we are not at these games, because both Tommy and I have a chance to go to these home Met games, but we probably won't just based on the time we put our show first, just not on opening day. I feel, and I think you're going to feel, I got to be in that building one more time.
Oh, absolutely.
And so to be
I think
there,
they'll sell the building out on Friday night.
I don't know if they'll sell it out, but I think they'll have a huge crowd.
It'll be a massive crowd Friday night partying in the streets. That will be a moment.
It
that
is
going to
be. You ready for this foursome? This is going to be the foursome. Mm-hmm. Me, Tommy, and Jet and Spence, my 8-year-old, my 4-year-old.
Jeez. When you said foursome, you got me all excited. And
it goes peanut butter and jellies.
Spence's potty trained. So if he needs to go to the bathroom in the middle of an inning, Tommy, you got it?
I'm not taking any of your kids into a stall or anywhere in there. I don't know what the rules are. I'm not related to them. We're not doing that.
By the way, there is a company in Philly that gobbled up a bunch of tickets to the actual games in Citi Field and are running buses from Philly to Citi Field.
How many tickets are we talking about?
Don't know.
About like 1,000 or like 500?
They haven't specified the amount, but multiple buses will be running out of Philly from this company.
Yeah, I think there'll be Met fans in Philadelphia. When I say it won't be like the Knicks, it won't be like the Knicks, but there will be like the 7 line, I'm sure, is running something to get down there. So I'm not saying there won't be Philly fans at Citi and there won't be Met fans at the bank. I just don't think it's going to be the considerable mix that maybe we've gotten used to over the years during the regular season.
So on this topic, I was having a conversation pre-show with upper management here. I think this series is going to get very, very spicy. I think that this is the first time both teams have met in the postseason with personalities like Jesse Winker, personalities like Bryce Harper. I think there's going to be a lot going on in the stands and on the field. I think this is going to get very, very chippy.
Now let's go.
Division rivals, this is going to be great.
Let's go. Because this is the dream, man. This is a dream. In fact, I'll play this for you coming up in a little bit. All the way back in May, when we just returned from Philly, when the Knicks beat the Philadelphia 76ers, I had this weird vision on the radio about going back to Philly for this. We'll get to that coming up in a few minutes. But let's go to a guy, and I don't know if Tiki was here. It may have been when you were off during the summer. Mm-hmm. But we are now joined by a gentleman who has his wedding coming up. And unfortunately, he planned the wedding before the Mets got good.
Make plans for October.
That's what Tommy warned. And this man's wedding is scheduled during Game 1 of the World Series. Mike in Staten Island. Mike, are you getting nervous?
Dude, my wife-to-be is actually the more nervous one. Because I'll tell you real quick. Her bridal shower was on a Sunday, and I was watching the Jet game, and she was already getting pissed off at me. And she's like, if this is our wedding, it's going to be a problem. And so I will say this. She's getting excited about it now. She, after the game last night, bought a white Lindor jersey and said if the Mets are in the World Series, she will wear it to the reception.
All right. Oh, all right.
That's kind of dope.
All right.
It's only game one, you, so.
Totally. Yeah, listen. Listen, I want to just give you that update, but if I can say something real quick on Pete Alonso,
yeah.
The home run.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I saw the news. And I saw they said, what was it? The only player in history to hit a game-winning home run in the ninth inning or later of a winner-take-all game.
Right.
Do we not count Bobby Thompson shot heard around the world?
We don't because it's a regular season game. No, you're right. I'm glad it's a great pull by you. And by the way, yesterday was the anniversary of the Bobby Thompson home run. But yeah, it's,
was it really?
Yes. Now that is a. I know it's so stupid, but it is a regular season game, so technically it does not count.
That's interesting. I thought it's considered a postseason game because it occurred after the season.
No, unfortunately. And that, of course, is one of the great moments. And I'm, you know what? I got to tell you, Mike, I'm glad you brought it up because even though something occurred a long time ago, I don't like when we think that it didn't occur at all because it was so long ago. That was one of the epic moments in New York baseball history. Two New York teams played a best-of-three regular season playoff. And I know that sounds so weird, but that's what it was. They played their regular season games, and it was tied. And the Dodgers and the Giants then played a best-of-three series. But they count as regular season games.
Right.
So when Bobby Thompson hit the home run off Ralph Branca on October 3rd, 1951, yesterday, October 3rd, 2024. How many years difference is that, Tiki?
51. So that's 75?
73.
73. Yes, 51, yes.
73 right. years to the date. Of that epic moment. But yeah, it counts as a regular season game. So that's why when that factoid comes out, and I think the way it was worded was, come from behind, home run, elimination game, seventh inning or later. Which is still kind of crazy. I know it's very specific, but it is kind of crazy. There's been a lot of elimination games over the last 100-plus years. It does not include the shot heard around the world in which Bobby Thompson sent those loser Brooklyn Dodgers home. Sorry, I showed my New York Giants loyalty with that.
I see.
I know you appreciated that.
I did.
Met fans, we hear from you throughout the day, but Yankee fans, we see you too. Including Aaron Boone having to make a very big decision for tomorrow night's game against Michael Wacha. And I think Sean and I may have the same opinion on it, but Aaron Boone's doing something he's going to regret in Game 1. We'll tell you what it is. More of your reaction to an epic moment in baseball last night, and Devontae Adams may give us a hint on where he's going to end up. There's a lot to do on this very busy Friday. Because the New York Mets won in an epically improbable game last night against the Brewers, the season continues. Saturday afternoon in Philadelphia against the Phillies, and Saturday night in the Bronx, the New York Yankees re-begin their season. Feels like it shut down a month ago as they play Game 1 against the Kansas City Royals. I will give you two dates that jump out at me as kind of crazy to think about. October 7th, 2006. That was the last time the New York Mets and the New York Yankees played playoff games on the same day. The Yankees and Mets have made the playoffs in the same season a handful of times, but usually it's two ships passing in the wind. In 2022, the Mets were in the wild card series and lost, while the Yankees awaited their divisional series that they eventually won. So they were both in the playoffs. They never commingled with each other. If you go back to 2015, the year the Mets got to the World Series, people may forget the Yankees made the playoffs too. They played a one-game wild card game against the pre-dynastic Houston Astros, and they lost to them. So again, two ships kind of passing in the night. But in 2006, the Mets and the Yankees were both in the divisional series. The Mets defeated the Dodgers in three, and the Yankees got defeated by the Detroit Tigers in four, mostly remembered for Kenny Rogers cheating. Is that a fair description of what happened, John?
Chill on the rest of it. We got Cinco to come involving that.
He doesn't care about Cinco.
I don't care about you, Cinco. I'm just talking about the fact that that's the last time they played.
Well, I got good nuggets off that date from those games.
I'm done with that date. Now I'm going to move on to a different date.
Right.
You ready for this date?
Go ahead.
October 11th, 2000. Tiki's like, what? Did I do something? Maybe you did.
I know.
You may have actually done something that day. What does October 11, 2000 mean? Well, for all of us New Yorkers, we hope that October 5th, 2024 replicates October 11th, 2000. That's the last time the Mets and the Yankees won a playoff game on the same day.
Wow.
Wow. How about that? You like that one?
Wow.
Well, I mean, how many times have they played a playoff game on the same day? I guess that would be the caveat that I would need to know to see if it had any real meaning. You know what I mean?
It's not a lot because in their histories, they've only... Like, I can name it off the top of my head, and a part of that is an embarrassment to the Mets, not really the Yankees. But 1999, they were both in the league championship series. Obviously, the Yankees won the World Series that year. The Mets lost Game 6 to the Atlanta Braves. So they were playing a lot of playoff games, I assume, on the same day back in 99. Obviously, 2000, they both got to the World Series. We know how that went. And I mentioned 2006. That's it. Because outside of that, the other playoff appearances that occurred in the same season are the ones I described from 2015 and 2022, where they were two ships passing in the night. So it is a rarity, and that's what's so special about this. We are not used to the New York Mets and the New York Yankees potentially going on playoff runs at the exact same time. And that goes along with the fact that we also have a football team, two football teams in this town.
Yes.
So... It's crazy. Speaking of football, before we get back to your calls, Tiki, detect this for me.
Yes.
Devontae Adams has posted something on Instagram.
Ruh-roh.
No words, just a picture.
Of?
The picture is of Edgar Allan Poe. Now, there are words along with this picture. I did not realize. Sean, okay. What do the words say?
So this is an Instagram story. The first part of the story was Edgar Allan Poe. The internet went wild with it. He waited.
Baltimore.
He waited.
See, Tiki jumped out right away. Yeah. The first reaction is Baltimore.
Well, that's
quote the Raven nevermore.
That's why they're named the Ravens. The next thing was a little quote graph that says, "Believe nothing you hear and half of what you see."
By the way, that should
Edgar
be...
Edgar Allan Poe.
That should be nowadays with social media and with AI. Believe nothing you hear and nothing you see. Period. Because it could be fake. Trust me.
And apparently that's an Edgar Allan Poe quote.
Of course it is. But I mean, Edgar Allan Poe was, you know, a long time before technology changed our perception of reality.
Where did Edgar Allan Poe go to college? Does anybody know?
I know where he went to college. He didn't graduate college.
Well, what college did he attempt to go to but did not graduate?
He attended the University of Virginia.
Oh, my God.
He has a room on the range,
Whoa. Which
is on the other side of the lawn, and it's still boarded off or at least glassed off.
Wow.
He's one of our alumni that we cherish.
Interesting. You know what that means?
What's that?
Who also went to the University of Virginia?
What? I don't know.
DeBrickashaw Ferguson?
You know, no, hold on, though.
What?
Tiki told this whole story about the Grinch and Dr. Seuss in Virginia. Yeah. Remember it being a lie?
It's not a lie. Well, Edgar Allan Poe's room looks right up at Alderman Library, right at the hill.
Edgar Allan Poe played football at Princeton University while attending Princeton.
So what is that? Princeton's in New Jersey. And guess what team plays in New Jersey? The Jets and the Giants.
Wait a minute. Apparently there's another Edgar Allan Poe.
Wait, there's two Edgar Allan Poes?
Who was attorney general?
Yeah, the poet went to the University of Virginia.
Never mind, this is the guy that played at Princeton. I'm going to back out. Mike's off for the rest of the day. You guys enjoy.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you.
Tiki,
don't battle UVA history with me. You're never going to finish.
Okay, this is a dumb question for all of us. Why did Devontae Adams post a picture of that?
Because he's going to the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, so you believe that?
I mean, that's what I think it's... They're on Poe Drive. Wait, now I got to remember. We were just there. We went to their practice, just like I am here today at the Seahawks practice facility.
Right.
You guys can see it, but TV can't because TV's not yet with us. Mm-hmm. But I'm sitting in front of a picture. Can you see the picture that I'm sitting in front of?
I don't see it yet because they haven't put it on yet. I apologize.
Oh, you're not looking at the Zoom.
No.
Well, I'm sitting in front of a picture of Sean Alexander.
Right.
And I'm sitting in front of this picture on purpose. Now, I love Sean Alexander because he's like a brother from another mother.
Right.
I think we actually look a lot alike if you looked at images of us.
Okay.
But the picture I'm sitting in front of is from January 1st, 2006. And why is that important? Because on January 1st, 2006, Sean Alexander played in their last game of their regular season against the Green Bay Packers. In that game, he scored the 28th touchdown of the season for him, one receiving, 27 rushing, and set a record, right?
Mm-hmm.
He also was not supposed to play in this game because they were 12-2 at the time,
okay,
and headed towards the playoffs, or 12-3 at the time, and so already into the playoffs. No, 13-3 at the time. Okay. And so he wasn't going to play.
Okay.
And you know what happened the day before?
What?
I think Sean remembers what happened the day before.
What happened the day before?
I rushed for 205 yards against the Oakland Raiders at the time.
Oh, so I know what he was doing. He was trying to take it to Tiki.
And so in that game, I passed him rushing for 1,860 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he's not supposed to play in this game. But he comes back to Seattle, plays in this game, rushes for 73 yards, scores the 28th touchdown of his season, and passes me by 20 yards for the rushing title.
Bastard.
In 2005.
Bastard. Season.
So I'm sitting in front of this in this picture because I'm kind of salty at Sean Alexander.
I see it now.
For playing in this game,
yeah.
This exact game. Because he beat me in the rushing title for that season.
I kind of admire what he did, though. He's like, I want that rushing title.
Of course he did. Well, going into the weekend, there was nobody close to him.
Right.
I forget what third was. Third was like 1,600 yards.
Right, right.
So nobody was close to beating him in the rushing title. And then I rushed for 200 yards against Oakland, and he decides to come back and play in this game, even though he wasn't supposed to, and beat me in the rushing title.
We have breaking news. Carlos Mendoza has named a Game 1 starter for tomorrow.
Okay, so before you tell me, because I have no idea, there are really two options. There's David Peterson, because David Peterson did pitch yesterday, but he barely threw any balls. I mean, he threw 7 or 8 pitches. So you could think of it as a throw day and have him ready to go in Game 1. The other option is Tyler McGill. I hope it's David Peterson. I really do. I think that's a better matchup. I trust David Peterson, and I would hope that the one-day rest wouldn't ruin him. So, positive, Tommy, give me the positive news that the Mets Game 1 starter is David Peterson.
Positive, Tommy hands it off to the manager of the New York Mets. Here's Carlos Mendoza.
Who's starting for you tomorrow?
Kodai Senga.
What?
Kodai Senga. What?
I expect he'll be able to give you.
Are you kidding?
We'll see. We're going to let it play out.
What?
He's been in Florida throwing, facing hitters. We have a plan, but we're going to go out there, watch him closely, and go from there. But he's ready to go, and that's where we're going with him on Game 1.
Wow.
How does he feel about that?
Great.
What?
You know, he's excited. Said right away, you know, when we talked to him, that he was ready to go.
Wow. Huh. Is that it, by the way?
That is it.
Oh, okay. So let me know. Okay, so there's a lot to digest there.
Wow.
You know, there was a rumor late last night from Mike Puma, and the rumor just stated the Mets are considering adding Kodai Senga to the National League Division Series roster. And I heard that and digested it as, okay, go an inning or two. Maybe they use him out of the bullpen, even though during the regular season it seemed like they would rather start him, use him as an opener, and go from there. I do not view the Philadelphia Phillies as the perfect contender to use Senga as an opener, and I'll tell you why. Most of the time, their top three hitters are Kyle Schwarber, left-hand hitter, Trey Turner, right-hand hitter, and Bryce Harper, left-hand hitter. And then you get a bunch of righties. You get Alec Boehm, you get Nick Castellanos, and then maybe you'll get Realmuto or Bryson Stott. But two of the first three hitters that you're going to face are not just left-hand hitters. They're sluggingly awesome left-hand hitters. And it never felt like a Senga into Peterson or Senga into Quintana or Senga into whomever you would want it eventually to be would make a lot of sense against the Phillies just based on the matchups. But I guess the way Mendy's looking at it is I don't really want to give David Peterson a start because he did pitch yesterday. And even though it's one day rest and he threw a lot of pitches, he is a little out of rhythm. You don't trust Tyler McGill as well as Tyler McGill has overall pitched, including how well he pitched against the Phillies just a few weeks ago against Zach Wheeler. And so I guess the thought would be Senga starts, we'll keep the Phillies off balance and not knowing what we're going to go to next, but we'll likely go to David Peterson as the quote-unquote bulk guy. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty epic. That's shocking. It's not what I expected to come out of Carlos Mendoza's mouth
at all. You didn't see that one coming.
At all. I was expecting a reaction to Tyler McGill. Oh, man, that's just not a great selection. I guess we trust Tyler because he's been pretty good the back half of the season. But, don't know if that's the best matchup. Kodai Senga was the last name that I expected to hear out of his mouth.
And also, despite that report last night about the Mets debating activating him, let's go through what Kodai Senga's season's been. He obviously gets hurt in spring training. He makes that epic comeback against Atlanta where he pitches 5 1/3 innings and looks brilliant. I was there that night. The crowd was electric. Kodai Senga didn't miss a beat. And then, unfortunately, on a pop-up, as he's coming off the mound, boom, there goes the calf. I thought it was going to be something far worse than that. Luckily, it turned out not to be. Now they rule him out for the season. Then the Mets are like, oh, he's ahead of schedule. He may do a rehab game. He does a rehab game a couple weeks ago where there's a thought he could be ready for the final weekend of the year against Milwaukee, and he felt some stiffness, and I think it was in his bicep. Google that for me just to confirm it. It was not the calf. It was something else.
Yeah.
And they were going to temporarily shut him down. We hadn't heard anything about him since then. So it was tough to imagine. It was a tricep injury. Thank you. It was tough to imagine that they would feel good enough in him to not only activate him for the DS, but start him in game one against Zach Wheeler, where maybe you get an inning or two out of him.
Epicness. Epicness, especially if he goes, I don't know, six innings.
I doubt it. He's not. No.
What if he did?
It sounds as if even if he was perfect, you're talking it to at most. Did Mindy say that? Because I was in such shock when you played the clip that it was very tough to.
No, he just said we'll see how he feels as we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's just going to let him play it out.
That is nuts.
Well, David Garcia, Jay Happier?
Right. Who do you follow him with?
David Peterson.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question. I think you clearly follow up with Peterson, because even if Peterson isn't available, quote unquote, to start, he can clearly pitch. He pitched yesterday on 3 days rest. He only threw a handful of pitches before acquiring or getting the save. Now he's on 1 day rest, but he barely threw. Now, I don't want to ignore the bullpen throws that he made and warming up to come into this game, and certainly the adrenaline of getting the final three outs of a playoff game. But my guess would be, just based on logic, Senga, McGill, and Peterson are the three arms you're going to try to get to deep into your bullpen.
And Severino announces the game two starter.
So and that makes sense. Yeah. That's Sevy's day. So the way this rotation is lining up, and it makes complete sense, is Senga with a bulk of Peterson and McGill in game one. Basically, you throw those three guys at you. That's just a guess. That has not been confirmed by Mendy. Mm-hmm. Sevy in game two on regular rest. Sean Manaea in game three at Citi Field. If necessary, Jose Quintana in game four. And then if it gets to a game five, you have a decision. You actually have three options. Yeah. You've got Severino, who could come back on regular rest because of the off days, Kodai Senga as an opener again, or David Peterson. Yeah. That's the way this rotation lines up right now.
And the Phillies are not going to pitch Aaron Nola in game two. They're going to hold him out for game three at Citi Field.
They're going to pitch Christopher Sanchez, and that's the right move. Christopher Sanchez, who has been tough on the Mets, has also got like better splits at home. So I think their thought is, let's put him in a more comfortable place. Let's put the playoff tested Aaron Nola in the tougher environment of a potential swing game or clincher game or whatever game three turns into. So, yeah, you're looking at Wheeler's Senga game one. You're looking at Sevy, Christopher Sanchez game two. You're looking at Nola versus Manaea in game three. And then I'm going to assume in game four, the Phillies will go with Ranger Suarez. The Mets will go with Jose Quintana. And then the beauty of game five, Tiki, is because of these off days,
yeah,
you can either use your game one starter or your game two starter.
Yeah, and I guess that obviously will depend on how well Kodai Senga, or how he feels after whatever, however many innings he gets in game one, Kodai Senga feels for game five.
Yeah.
Because if he's exceptional, then you feel confident doing it all over again.
Yeah, it's going to be a tag team effort. Right. I think you're looking at a Senga-Peterson like tag team, if you will, or opener into bulk, as it's now called, to attack a potential game five. That could change, though. Let's say Severino's utterly brilliant in game two. You then have the option to come back with him. Clearly for the Phillies, it's Zach Wheeler. He is their ace. It is still very frustrating that Zach Wheeler is a Philadelphia Philly.
And he is their ace.
And he is their ace, and he's as good as he is. But it's past ownership. I remind myself that all the time. Like, it's not Steve Cohen and David Stern's fault. So there you go. The Mets have advanced, and they've announced the beginning of their rotation. It will start with Kodai Senga pitching game one of the National League Division Series. He has thrown 5 1/3 innings all year, and he's going to start a playoff game. And I'm sure this can be looked up very quickly. Clearly, fewest innings ever thrown by a Met playoff starting pitcher. How could it be fewer than that?
I was just going to go across Major League Baseball. Is there anybody that's ever done this?
It's a great question. Look it up. Or tell Sean to look it up.
I'm going
to
Google it right now.
You're going to Google it?
We're going to Google it together.
How do you even Google something like that?
I'm going to type into Google fewest innings pitched in the regular season to start a playoff game.
There you go. Give it a try. Let us know how that works out.
Oh, I got pictures of Sydney Sweeney. All right, wrong Google search.
Last night, Tommy's looking at pictures of Sydney Sweeney. I'm looking at videos over and over again of Pete Alonso going deep and the Mets celebrating. That was the way I was entertaining myself last night. Let's go to Jim in Locust Valley. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're good.
Excellent.
So I was at the game last night. It was, I was there for the last two games, and the greatest 2 days I've ever spent around baseball was quite the experience. Last night was, I've never seen the air sucked out of a building so quickly. It was literally the greatest thing I've ever done.
Yeah. How was the eerie silence when Alonso's home run went over? I mean, obviously you had some Met fans there like yourself, but how did that sound feel in that building?
It was glorious. It was absolutely amazing. They didn't know what to do with themselves. They were starting to get the strut like they had in game two.
Mm-hmm.
It just left so fast. The people that I was sitting next to, their faces, they just couldn't believe it had happened again, because they're just sitting there shaking their heads. Just couldn't believe it.
And thanks for the call, Jim, and I'm glad you had a great time. The Brewers as a franchise have become tortured over the last few years, and I have no ill will towards them. I don't think any of us have ill will towards them. They just happen to be a nameless, faceless opponent that was in our way. But, my God, if I was on their side, I don't know how I would have gone to work. I don't know how I would have gone to sleep that night. Like, front row Amy didn't sleep last night. I don't even know if she finished her scorecard last night.
Or the guy that was bawling his eyes out. And then the female that was bawling her eyes out. They did a lot of Brewer crying shots. A
lot of crying shots.
Was it last night or was it game two where they showed the guy with the graphic of, I'm missing the birth of my first child for this game? Did you guys see that on TV?
No.
I think it was. The Evan Roberts of the Brewers had this graphic
up. That's what's funny. I would never do that.
No, but he got approval from his wife.
I wouldn't even ask.
You wouldn't even ask?
I wouldn't.
What's the worst? She says no.
He's lying to get on TV and TikTok.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. Like, you know what? I love my baseball team, and I'm crazy, man. But I also, like, look at the moments of when both of my boys were born. I ain't trading that for a Game 3 of the Wild Card Series. I'm sorry.
Well, let me ask you this.
Maybe I'm less of a fan than you
right.
now.
It's not like it's the World Series. It's the Wild Card
Series. Well, that's a horse of a different color.
Right.
Say World Series.
Evan, if your wife is listening, turn the radio off right now. I'm going to ask him a question. Evan, last night you admitted on the Rico Bronya that after the Mets win or after the Alonso homer, you cried. Is that accurate?
There were two. Yes.
Okay. Did you cry when young Spence and Jet were born?
Absolutely.
You telling the truth?
Yes.
Okay. I don't believe it.
Especially Spence. Because you know why? And this is emotional but true. When Jet was born, this is all for the fathers and mothers out there. It has nothing to do with baseball. You're naive when your first kid is born. You're naive. Like, you didn't think it was hard. It wasn't a big deal. And I think when
of course it's not hard for you.
You just sat there, dummy.
That's not what I meant. Like, everything was
It was actually all pleasurable for you.
That's a good point. When Spence was born, there were other issues that led before that. And there was that worry. There was that, like, that entire time, me and my wife had a fear, like, oh, my God, just come out healthy. Just come out healthy. The first time I never had that, I was, like, naive. Like, of course he's going to come out healthy. Why would there be a problem? And so when Spence was born, there was a relief. This has happened to all of us at some point. There's a naivete at some point, and then real life teaches you, don't be naive. So when Spence was born, I really bawled because I was just so freaking relieved he was healthy. I'm sorry. I know I've buzzkilled everybody.
No, that was a great story.
I was going to make fun of it. I mean, jeez.
He asked a question about crying.
Sean just told me when his first daughter was born, he bawled his eyes out, and then he compared his second daughter being born to an oil change. They were in, were out.
She came out. Let's go. Let's watch some football.
I get that. It was the complete opposite for me, and I think it's just because of, you know, the experiences that I had.
Of course.
What about you, Tiki?
So, AJ, when AJ was born, you got to remember, I have six. So
I know. Different.
Wait, do we have 20 minutes?
Right. Exactly.
All right, Cliff notes.
AJ, I was emotional, but I wanted him to be born on the day before. So he's a July birthday. So I wanted him to be born on 7/7. Because 7 is my lucky number. But he didn't get out before the clock turned to midnight.
Damn
he's a 7/8 baby.
Oh.
And so, yeah, I was emotional, but I was like, get out! But it didn't work. Chasing, I was kind of like Sean. It was like, all right, cool, we got this. It's easy. It's simple. I don't think I got emotional again. With the twins, I didn't get emotional. I didn't get emotional again until Tegan, who was my last baby, six-year-old, who's now 8 years old
right.
now. And so, because I don't know, there's something, I knew it was my last. right. or likely my last.
Right.
And so that's when I got emotional about.
Yeah. Do you ever get emotional at a baseball game yet? Has that happened yet, TV?
Never. Never.
So when Pete went deep last night, no tears coming down your eye?
I was on a plane, dude.
Dude, if I was on a plane, I would have bowled like a baby.
I was uncomfortably on a plane for 5.5 hours or 6 hours flying to Seattle. My ass was hurting by that point.
You know what I want you to do? Tell me if you could pull this off, and I think this is an easy one. We haven't made broadcast requests from Tiki so far this season. I just think at some point during the Giants game, now the Mets are playing at the same time, I think you got to make a Pete Alonso reference. That's it.
Now, I mean, of course I will. Because I was on the plane with a bunch of Giant fans who are all going to Lumen Field to watch the Giants and the Seahawks. And at some point, I'll just mention, a lot of Giant fans in the house today. You know, I was on the plane with them. And they celebrated when Pete Alonso hit a 3-run home run.
Yeah.
Top of the ninth inning.
And say, 5 minutes before that, they wanted Pete Alonso gone. They hated Pete Alonso. Now they love him.
They were strangely quiet. And all of a sudden...
By the way, since you're in Seattle, Malik Nabers has officially been ruled out, right? So he is not playing this game on Sunday.
Yeah, we got the injury update. He's the only one that has been ruled out. Devin Singletary is doubtful right now, but it was a timing thing with a concussion protocol. And we mentioned this earlier in the week. You have to get your red jersey practice in. That is non-contact red jersey practice, the fourth stage of the concussion protocol before your it has to be your penultimate practice of the week. And that didn't happen for him because you need also for the fifth stage a full practice, full contact deal. And he just never had the chance to get that done.
Crazy. That's a big
despite having a long week.
Yeah.
Because they played on Thursday, he had a long week.
Yeah, the Giants and the Yankees are very similar in that it feels like they haven't played in forever. The Giants obviously played the Thursday night game. It's more than a week ago now. The Yankees ended their season on Sunday. There's been so much baseball since, so much football since, that the Giants and the Yankees are like, I mean, when are they going to play again? It feels like it's been forever since we've seen them play.
It has. Football, I don't mind it. With the Giants, I don't mind it. Like, get ready. You're 1-3. You're playing a really good Seattle Seahawks team. You need the break. And it's fine because you're used to having breaks. Right, you're weak every time. Baseball, it's a little bit more concerning because you have no idea what the Yankees are going to come back looking like.
No, and we'll get to the Yankees coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. There's a bad track record of teams that don't play. That first round bye is an accomplishment, but sometimes it comes back and bites you. So we'll get to the Yankees coming up in a few minutes. Let's go to John and Hofstra. How you doing, John?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Just wanted to say, Evan, I completely agree with your point. You hit it right on the head about Alonso, and I'd like to tell you why I agree with you and then make a point. You know, yesterday while watching that game, and the first up to the ninth inning was incredibly frustrating. We've seen it before. The Mets had holes in their bats. And then I felt more so that we weren't potentially watching the end of a season. I felt, and I know we all felt, that we were watching literally the funeral of Pete Alonso as a New York Met. I felt like I was watching the end of his career.
Yes.
I felt it. I saw it on his face, especially after that foul ball. And I said to myself, in this spot, if he doesn't do what he did, and I only think that's about all he could have done, the vitriol would have been so intense. And people, I don't think he would have survived this. And I truly don't think he would have been bad. And I'm going to tell you something. I know it's different because today would have been, forget the party we're having, it would have been a nightmare. It would have been all day, and it would have lasted through the whole summer. And I'm going to tell you something. I know it's different. He wasn't a homegrown Met, and here's my point. When Carlos Beltran, who was a great baseball player, and he was a great Met, when I think of Carlos Beltran, you know what I'm about to tell you, guys.
I think of
that moment, and I'm telling you, nobody would have cared about the home run derby. We loved Pete, everything he did. This would have stuck out. I'm not, even if he didn't hit into the double play, which, by the way, everybody was thinking. I'm telling you, this would have stayed with everybody, and it wouldn't have mattered, and this man would have been gone.
John, you're 1,000% right. He was never overcoming this. And I think the Beltran analogy, because I was trying to think of an analogy to describe this, and a guy that popped into my head is Tom Glavin, and I know that's not a great analogy because he was a hired gun at the end of his career and Met fans didn't want him, but no matter what Tommy did in the middle of his Met career, he could never overcome game 162. That was it. That ruined any conversation we were ever going to have about Tom Glavin. To a smaller extent, Max Scherzer. No matter what Max Scherzer did, because he actually had a good regular season in 2022, nothing was going to save him from that abysmal start against the Padres in Game 1. And Carlos Beltran, even though it was early in his Met career and he did a lot of stuff after that, a lot of good stuff after that. He never got past striking out looking to Adam Wainwright. And I think in the case of Pete, he not only saved the Mets season, he saved the perception of him. Because if they lost that game yesterday with another offer and a drop pop-up, even if it didn't come back and kill him, Tiki, he was done as a Met. Right. Like, no Met fan would ever be able to defend him. He'd be ruined.
As much as we wanted to, you know, at least Met fans wanted to smack Sean for his negativity on the weakly limping out on game three, that was exactly what was going to happen. That until Pete Alonso hit that home run, Sean was exactly right with how the Mets season was going to end in the wild card to the Brewers, and Pete Alonso became a hero. And as we talked about before, these moments are hard to predict. They're hard to, even more so, to execute from a player standpoint. But when you do it, like when you succeed in that moment, it lasts forever in people's minds.
100%.
So the perception of him and the season is defined by that one moment, even if it's not necessarily fair for how everything else went for the rest of the season.
You look at every other home run in Met history, and there's a lot you could bring up as epic home runs. Lenny Dykstra in the NLCS in 86, Todd Pratt, Robin Ventura, whatever you want to bring up. There were games on the line. There were playoff games on the line. This guy not only had a game and season on the line, he had a career on the line.
100%.
And no one else had that.